1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Israeli forces still in Gaza's largest hospital in a raid that started several hours ago looking for Hamas fighters. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
I can confirm for you that we have information that Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad used some hospitals in the Gaza Strip, including Al-Shifa, and tunnels underneath them to conceal and to support their military operations and to hold hostages.
A senior Israeli source says progress has been made toward a deal that could free some of the 239 Israeli hostages in Gaza. President Biden has a big meeting planned for later today with Chinese President Xi Jinping. They'll use their face-to-face at the Asia-Pacific Summit in San Francisco to discuss stabilizing U.S.-China relations, human rights, and trade, according to the White House. This is ABC News. A Wisconsin woman who used eye drops to kill her friend, Jesse Krzyzewski, put a lethal dose of eye drops in Lynn Hernan's water bottle 5 years ago. Anthony Paza knew Hernan his entire life.
Hopefully move forward from this and have a real celebration of life. We never really got to lay her to rest, so that'll be what we try to do next.
One person's under arrest after a man plowed a car straight through the doors of a mall food court in Pueblo, Colorado.
This is the sound of Pueblo police pulling the suspect out of his car after he allegedly drove right into the Pueblo Mall. It was recorded by Rita Mays. Police tell ABC News they received an active shooter call, and when they arrived at the mall, the suspect took off and slammed into it. There was no active shooter. He claimed he had explosives in his car. The Metro Police Bomb Squad had to be called out. The mall was evacuated and is now closed. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within parties as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The American Family Field Bill is on its way to Governor Evers, and he said he'll sign it. It spends more than $500 million of public money for upkeep to American Family Field. The amended bill passed the state Senate Tuesday morning and then the Assembly late in the afternoon. The amended bill asks more of the Brewers, less of state taxpayers, and adds a tax to non-Brewer events at the stadium. Expect slow going if you're traveling home for Thanksgiving. More than 1 million people in Wisconsin are expected to travel 50 miles or more for the holiday. AAA says that would be the third highest number for Wisconsin since 2019. By far, most will travel by car, but 113,000 plan to fly. A week from tomorrow is expected to be the busiest day at Wisconsin airports. Expect delays up to 80% longer than normal. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers getting charged up for L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After a tough loss in Pittsburgh, the Packers are back in Green Bay this Sunday to host the Los Angeles Chargers. Kickoff set for noon. Baseball, the Brewers making a trade, sending two minor leaguers to the Philadelphia Phillies for infielder and slugger Oliver Dunn. NBA, the Bucks in Toronto tonight to face the Raptors. Giannis Antetokounmpo says the players' relationship with their new and first-time head coach, Adrian Griffin, is more like a partnership.
For 10 games right now, with all the expectations that we have as a team, all of a sudden, you know, everybody cares about the Milwaukee Bucks. Going out there, try to win games. And I know, like, coach is getting better each game. We are trying to get better each game. But at the end of the day, as I said, this is a partnership. You know, I don't think in every team in the NBA that's the case. But for sure here, Griff is definitely has been a partnership with everybody, not just me, with every single player.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs around 57 today. Under clear skies, winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 40 tonight, mainly clear. Tomorrow, highs around 61. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 32.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station, UK, UK, UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Who is wondering at 7:06 on a Wednesday morning how we got midway through November already. Halloween wasn't that long ago. It's already November 15th. All across Wisconsin, nice to have you here. Greg Bach is in Waukesha helping out as well on this November 15th. And I ran out of time last segment, Greg, to go through the whole roll call. This is one of those days where it's like everybody gets a day today. It's National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. I do that on Mondays, which is trash day.
I love cleaning out refrigerators.
Yeah, sometimes you find a surprise and go, oh, I never did finish that thing of leftovers, and I'm not going to touch it now. It's National Drummer Day. It's National Recycling Day. It's National Botox Day.
Ugh.
It's National Bunt Cake Day.
I make you bunt cake.
Let me say this about bunt cakes. They came, when they first kind of came out in the early to mid 70s, they were like kind of a craze for a short time. I was a kid. My mom made them all the time. Everybody made these bunt cakes in the 70s. And they were all just dry as can be. I don't know that I ever had a good bunt cake. But whatever they've done since, there's a couple of these little shops that have popped up that specialize in bunt cake. My guess is that where once there was, you know, a couple of tablespoons of butter, there's now like three sticks of butter because these cakes are so moist and so good now that I can no longer make any jokes about it being National Bundt Cake Day.
I love a good play on words, a good pun. And I was watching it. I can't remember what the TV show, but there was a couple having some dessert at a local bakery called Bundt Force Trauma.
Bundt Force Trauma. Nice.
And I have a great joke if you want to hear it later about drummers.
Oh, okay. I want to hear it later, do I?
If you want to hear it later, I'll tell it to you later, but you got stuff to do, so go ahead.
I don't have that much to... Look, I'm just going to sit back here. Everybody, here's Greg with a drummer joke.
What do you call a drummer with no girlfriend?
What?
Homeless. Yeah!
This is also National I Love to Write Day. This is National Philanthropy Day, and this is National Education Support Professionals Day. And that's a good jumping off point to tell you that this hour, we're going to introduce a new weekly segment called Homeroom. It's named for that first daily gathering at school that got us all started with announcements and, you know, a little back and forth with friends. We're going to use this segment to update current trends in Wisconsin schools, new stories that affect education, profiles of people who are going above and beyond to teach our kids. This week, we're going to talk about how, for some of you, you're paying attention here. This is time to think about running for your local school board. Your local school board may need you. And so if you're wondering, could I really do that? How would I learn how to be a candidate? What are the qualities of a good school board candidate? We're going to address that with a couple of guests. We're also going to talk about those new report cards that came out yesterday grading schools and school districts and why you they have value, but they don't tell you everything that you need to know about what a school district is trying to do. So again, all of that coming up this hour. You can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. You can call it or text it and use the Civic Media app to call or text us as well. Supporters of taxpayer-funded private school vouchers filed briefs at the Wisconsin Supreme Court on Tuesday as the justices consider a request to immediately take up a lawsuit that could eliminate the program, the voucher program, that now gobbles up about a half billion of our tax dollars per year. Voucher supporters are asking the justices to let the lawsuit work its way more slowly through county and appellate courts, or even reject the suit entirely. We've talked to the plaintiff here, which the lead plaintiff is former UW-Madison School of Education Dean Julie Underwood. It's a suit that is backed by the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC head Kirk Bangsted, and they filed a petition asking the justices to hear the case directly. And so they accepted the petition and then said, okay, those of you who support voucher schools, you have until yesterday now to file briefs as far as why we should or shouldn't take up this lawsuit directly. And now we wait for the Supreme Court justices to make that decision to either take up the lawsuit directly or have it first go to a county court level and work its way through. You know, there was some great news on the economic front this week, but you would have to scroll way, way down on some news sites to see it. Like the New York Times site, you scroll way down and in tiny letters comes the headline, "An optimistic inflation report reduces pressure on the Fed to raise rates." If that inflation report had been anything but rosy, you and I both know it's all we'd be hearing about. I mean, it would be like, what war in Israel? You know, what is this Ukraine of which you speak? Don't you know that we have to write our latest piece on what people at a diner in central Missouri think of Joe Biden? Well, here are the details. The overall consumer price index slowed to 3.2% last month on a year-over-year basis, lower than the 3.7% reading in September, and the coolest inflation report since July. Inflation has come down meaningfully over the past year after peaking at just above 9% on an overall basis in the summer of 2022. Fed officials, according to the New York Times, are trying to wrestle price increases back to the roughly 2% pace that was normal before the pandemic by raising interest rates, which they hope will slow consumer and business demand. Emphasis on slow it, not grind it to a halt. In other words, it's not fixed yet. People are still unhappy about growing prices. You know, prices growing at, you know, 3% is still more than growing at 2%. But 2% is the target. Wages are rising at a good pace. And so for those who say, well, prices aren't back to where they were before the pandemic, they're not supposed to be. That's the whole point of the target of 2% inflation. You wouldn't want your paycheck not to grow by an average of 2% a year. And if you end up with deflation, if you go too far backwards on prices, that's a really bad indicator for the economy. So for now, consumers are still spending, places are still looking for good workers, and it appears the media is just going to go la, 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 la until the next slight dip in the recovery. And then we will probably be hearing all about it. The Badger men's basketball team lost at Providence last night, 72-59. Their next game is Friday evening, 6 o'clock at the Kohl Center versus Robert Morris. And you can catch that game on WFHR, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, WRCE News from the center in Richland Center, and WLAK Lake Eyre in Amory. The Bucks' next game will be tonight in Toronto. Then they'll play Friday at Charlotte. Saturday, they're home against Dallas. And you can catch the Bucks on News from the Center in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Eyre in Amory, WRJAN in Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Marquette men's basketball team is ranked number 4 in the country, and they defeated Illinois, number 23 ranked Illinois, on the road last night, 71-64. The Marquette men next play in the Maui Invitational, and that'll be next Monday night against UCLA, a 10 o'clock Central Time start time, 10 p.m. next Monday for Marquette men. The Badger women's basketball team won at home against South Dakota State by a score of 66-64. Their next game is Sunday at Kansas State. 7 a.m. temperatures around Wisconsin look like this as we hit all the high points along the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 41 here on Lake Wissota. Hayward is at 28 degrees right now. Park Falls, 30. Wausau, 39. Green Bay, 45 degrees. Oshkosh is 44. La Crosse is 40. In Wisconsin Rapids, it's 42 degrees. Madison, 44. And it's 45 down in Waukesha on the Shaw, WAUK. It's just a beautiful morning here in Chippewa Falls. I hope it's a good-looking morning wherever you are, nice and quiet. It was pretty breezy yesterday. Let's see how things shape up for the rest of this Wednesday with meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology, who's joining us now. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning, and you said it. I mean, it's a beautiful start to the day, and overall it's going to be a pretty decent one coming in. Looks like sunshine for all today, a little warmer for some compared to yesterday as this warm front begins to push through the state. 60 to the mid-60s from Wisconsin Rapids southward, lingering in the upper 50s from Wausau over towards Amory and Baldwin. Above average for this time of the year, as everyone should be in the 40s instead. Thursday looks like starting off with some sunshine for western Wisconsin through Wisconsin Rapids, then increasing clouds as we get through the day, then sunny skies for everyone else actually throughout the day tomorrow, Wausau, Oshkosh, Madison, and over towards the lakefront. Low to mid-60s expected for everyone tomorrow, a slight chance for rain late Thursday night for southern Wisconsin. Friday, it looks like a cold front pushes through. It's sunny or becoming sunny for all, a bit on the cooler side, however, as it is going to be more, however, it will be more of an average day coming in. Mid to upper 40s from Richland Center over towards Milwaukee, then upper 30s to low 40s from Oshkosh through central and west central Wisconsin. Then to start off the weekend, another warm front will push through here. So on Saturday, warmer for everyone. Sunshine expected with highs in the mid-40s to around 50 degrees for all. Then a high-pressure system settles in for Sunday. So actually, it's going to be a pretty similar day to Saturday.
All right. And a reminder, if you're still doing yard work out there, our daily newsletter has a story today on the do's and don'ts of leaf burning in Wisconsin. And one of the first things to keep in mind is to check that local forecast for the wind. And so Jennifer and her colleagues will have that for us, you know, every hour throughout the day on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right. Quick note before we launch into our weekly education segment, and it's about the newsletters that are now available from Courier Newsroom. As we've mentioned before, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are part of Courier Newsroom, which has 9 state-based newsrooms all across the country with a couple of more on the way. And there's now a new beefed up national team covering politics and important stories, covering the media. And so there are weekly newsletters that you can pick up as well as our daily newsletter. If you go to couriernewsroom.com, you'll get newsletters from our Friday friend Mark Jacob, who has a newsletter called Stop the Presses. Kia Vakil has one called Frontlines. We're going to visit with Carolyn Fiddler on Friday. She has State House Action, which has all the latest insider news from state capitals across the country. For What It's Worth by Kyle Tharp is a weekly newsletter that tracks the digital spending and strategy and tactics in our elections. And then there's Control-Alt-Right-Delete. That's a weekly newsletter by Melissa Ryan, devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And so choose some or all of those newsletters by heading to couriernewsroom.com. And again, if you're not subscribing to ours, get to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the top banner. The premiere of Homeroom in just over 60 seconds. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a moment.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All right, starting today, Wednesdays at 7:20, we're going to have a little segment here called Homeroom, where we talk about Wisconsin schools and the good things that are happening in them for people who, for whom the future should be bright. But it's not always, depending on some of the decisions made by our leaders in Wisconsin and elsewhere. So we're going to track the people who are working on the behalf of our kids and the ones who seem to be an impediment. And one of our more frequent guests on this will be Heather Dubois-Boronon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, who joins us this morning. Heather, hi, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. Great, how are you?
Great, nice to have you here, and thank you for agreeing to find some friends and visit with us. We're going to talk to Tim Nordine from the Eau Claire School Board coming up at the bottom of the hour here, and we're going to talk about school board qualities, what kind of member qualities there should be, and how do people learn how to be a candidate for school board. So that's coming up in just a moment. But I wanted to talk first about these new report cards that came out that apparently grade school districts and grade schools. And as I'm watching some of the chatter about it yesterday, it was clear that some folks, unfortunately, in our newsrooms, just grab these things and run with it, take it at face value, and don't look a little bit deeper. And I thought we would do that here. So Heather, first start by telling us what are these report cards that were put out yesterday?
Well, this is such a loaded question, Pat. So I want to start by saying, first of all, there's really nothing more important than making sure that our schools are, in fact, meeting the needs of all the kids. And holding our schools accountable for doing that is one of the very important roles that we play as people who care about public schools, as educators, and as people who vote for those who we entrust to make sure that kids have what they need. What people should know, though, is that school and district report cards are a relatively new way that the state has imposed on districts to use, one day of testing as the main way of holding our kids accountable and our schools accountable, in spite of the fact that we have severely limited the resources available to our schools to educate our kids. And so we know that these aren't the best measure of how our kids are actually doing. And we always caution people not to put too much stock in standardized testing in general, but also in these sort of mechanisms that can be used in a punitive way to suggest that our schools are not meeting the needs of kids in ways that might not actually reflect what those needs really are.
Right. But again, just that single data point is hardly going to take care of it. And you need to look a little bit deeper because, obviously, schools don't operate in a vacuum. They operate not only on a level of what kind of staff they have, but what kind of support they get, including support from our state leaders. And I don't know who coined the phrase, but I blatantly stole it yesterday when somebody wrote about this. How can we expect schools to get an A in achievement when the legislature gets an F in funding?
Hey, that was me who said that, Pat.
Okay, well, there you go. Great. There we go. Author credit.
No, we did give the legislature an F on their school budget report card this year because they sent kids back to school for what will be the 16th year in a row with a less than inflationary increase to public school funding. That is just criminal. They are not meeting their constitutional obligation to our kids. And that comes on the heels of years of cuts and frozen spending and just knowing full well that we aren't meeting the needs of so many kids in our classrooms. And so that's kind of the larger context for this conversation. Now, in spite of that, 94% of Wisconsin's public schools either met, exceeded, or significantly exceeded expectations on this year's report cards. And we know that our educators are just doing every single thing that they can to meet kids where they are and to do right by them, but they're doing it with scant resources and under conditions that are really not providing optimal conditions for kids to thrive. And that's where we think the accountability spotlight should be focused on an accountability day like report card day.
Well, and in terms of accountability, you said for public schools, it was a 94% level of meeting or exceeding expectations. Folks would certainly ask, how do, private, slash voucher schools, were they measured? Were they measured equally? How did they measure up?
Well, it's never really fair to do an apples to apple comparison because those schools play by their own set of rules. But even so, among private schools who participated in the testing and were assessed, only 80% met that mark. And so public schools and private schools are not equal in how they perform on standardized tests. Public schools tend to surpass the private schools in their testing scores. We know this, but we also know that in the private schools, many students do not take the test. They are exempt. They exempt students from testing. They opt out of testing. Some of the schools don't have to report their scores because too low a percentage of students takes the test, and so on. So there's all kinds of reasons why a direct comparison isn't entirely fair.
And then to get back to the funding that is done, obviously, a lot of folks think of property taxes, local property taxes that fund education. And there is a new report that takes a look at Wisconsin's school funding formula. It's by Forward Analytics, which is a nonpartisan research division of the Wisconsin Counties Association. And it really tries to get to the data points of just how much legislators, this is in my view, have abdicated their responsibility to fund schools and put more of that on property taxpayers instead. How much more of our schools are funded because of referendums rather than, the regular methods?
Yeah, we're just seeing more and more and more of this across the state as districts are forced to ask voters to go to the ballot box and raise taxes on themselves to pay for local schools. And where they can do it, great. They're filling some gaps. They're meeting some kids' needs. But where they aren't, those gaps just get wider and wider. And so this is a very unfair and disequalizing way to do public school funding across the state. And what we're seeing is that a sort of system of have and have nots has cemented itself across the state in ways that just don't make sense. Don't make sense at all. And doesn't, more importantly, correspond to student need.
Yeah, there's a nice write-up done by Scott Girard in the Cap Times about the report, and notes that the total revenue collected by school districts, more than 5% of total revenue was revenue that only came because of local referendums. And in some districts, it's even higher, he writes, with 100 districts across Wisconsin relying on a referendum to fund more than 10% of their total education costs. And in 14 districts, referendum dollars account for 25% or more of annual revenue. And yes, some people would say, oh, so they're taxing those property holders too much. I think it's just equally able to argue these are schools that are in need that have to go back to the taxpayers and ask them to raise their own taxes because of shortcomings at the legislative level.
Yeah, that Forward Analytics report really laid it out, and let's share that link with those who are listening today so they can see those numbers for themselves, because it's really sobering. That's nearly a quarter of districts, just in that example that you used alone, that are in this sort of unsustainable fiscal cliff situation where they don't know if they can keep asking their local taxpayers to shoulder those costs. Yep. And the fact is, the state's sitting on an $8 billion surplus and can fix this problem tomorrow. Yep. And we're still playing games with this money.
Hold that point, Heather, back with more in just a bit. You're
back
up north.
I'm heavenly blessed and worldly wise.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa, at the center of a raid by Israeli forces. IDF officials saying that Hamas is operating from tunnels underneath the facility. ABC's Matt Gutman.
Within Al-Shifa, the situation desperate. Doctors telling us fuel and supplies have run out. Workers now saying they were forced to use gardening tools and their bare hands to bury scores of decomposing bodies in a mass grave.
We managed to bury around 180 bodies within the hospital.
You have buried 180 bodies from within the hospital in that mass grave?
Absolutely, yeah.
U.S. officials insisting that a ceasefire would only help Hamas militants. President Biden in San Francisco for the Asian Pacific Summit. The highlight of the trip expected to be a sit-down with China's president. White House officials say a key goal of the talks will be managing competition between the two countries. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A number of Republican voting rules are one step closer to becoming constitutional amendments. One of the proposed amendments, passed by the state Senate Tuesday, would require voters to show a photo ID issued by the state of Wisconsin. Another would require voters in Wisconsin to be U.S. citizens. A third would ban local governments and elections officials from using private donations to pay for their work. Wisconsin schools are doing better, according to the latest accountability report cards from the State Department of Public Instruction. 378 public school districts were evaluated, and 94% of them met, exceeded, or significantly exceeded expectations. DPI says achievement improved from last year to this year, though for many schools and districts, this year's performance is lower than before the pandemic. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC Tell on a Thursday.
DC Tell, that's 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs around 57 today. Under clear skies, winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 40 tonight, mainly clear. Tomorrow, highs around 61. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 33.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of seven women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
My ride smells just right, just right, just right, just right.
Y'all gotta try that for Breeze Car.
Just right, just right, just right, just right. Yeah. La 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 la. Yeah. With up to 40 days of consistent scent, all over Breeze Car clips right on your vent. Yeah. You know my car's my happy place. Keep that smile on my face. When it smells just right, just right.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
AUK, 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 AUK.
theme here is run for something. Make a difference in 2024. And specifically, we're going to talk about your local school board, which once upon a time, these were very quiet affairs, quiet elections of people who wanted to serve their community, serve their school district. Unfortunately, school board elections have become increasingly politicized, increasingly expensive, as certain groups work hard, in my view, to just outright undermine public education. There certainly is a role to be played for people who are fiscal conservatives and who want to be skeptical of, you know, certain things that administration might be doing. But there are others for whom this has become an extreme political measure. It's why we wanted to make the case that if you are thinking about serving your community in some way, shape, or form and wanting to be on a school board, we'd give you a little advice on what makes a good school board member, what it's like to run for school board. And so we're back now with Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and Tim Nordine, president of the Eau Claire School Board. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Pat. Hello, Heather.
Morning.
Tim, how long have you been on the Eau Claire School Board?
This is my fifth year on the school board.
What made you decide to serve there?
Well, I'm a former high school teacher, and so I've always had a passion for education. I did graduate school in education as well. And increasingly around 2018, I started feeling like it was time to move my experience and expertise into something where I could help our local district in Wisconsin. We moved to Eau Claire in 2015, and I felt like it was time to get involved. And being on the school board with my background felt like a natural fit, but it was really just something to give back to our community in the way that I felt like I had the best set of skills.
Heather, does this check out with what you hear from a lot of first-time school board members?
Yeah, what we see is that people run for school boards because they care about kids. They're looking at what's happening in their public schools and they're thinking, how can I be part of making sure these kids have what they need? How can I put like my skills and interests to work for the service of my community? I think regardless of folks' politics, that's generally why most people decide they want to step up and run. They just want to do right by the kids that they love in their own community.
The Public Education Network also has put together, I like this, it's called a champion checklist in terms of, you know, how to identify people who might be champions for public education, who might make for good candidates. And again, it's some of it is pretty common sense. But as I looked at the column on the right side, signs that a candidate may be running for the wrong reasons, you list things like lack of curiosity, unprepared, running for political reasons, you know, single issue. And I have to say that as somebody who, as a reporter, has covered a lot of school boards and county boards, it's pretty easy to see early on the ones that came more out of a cause or with an axe to grind than with a notion of service. Do you feel like that's still pretty apparent when, Tim, when you meet folks who are, you know, serving on school boards around Wisconsin or around the country?
I think that we do see a lot of people that are when they're running for the wrong reasons, you're right. It's easy to tell that they, you know, often I think that single issue that you mentioned there becomes an issue. You know, school board is built on governance of the school district. And so you really have to be able to take a high level view and want to know about all kinds of different issues in the classroom. You know, you might be upset about the playground equipment at one of your local elementary schools, but that issue is only one of all of them that can make an impact on our students. And so when you have somebody coming out for a single issue, especially when it's one of the ones that are highly politicized, it's easy to see right away that this might not be a good fit for that person. And in addition, that the lack of curiosity, I know when I have seen people running for boards, you know, I love it when I see candidates in our meetings sitting and watching, or now that we're streaming them online, if I can see them in the list of attendees, that tells me that they want to know what's going on before they even might be elected. And when I don't see them there, it makes me wonder whether or not they want the depth of knowledge that's necessary to really be functional as soon as possible after joining a board.
Yeah, because again, there's many issues that a school board covers, and so to continue pivoting back to a single issue is just not helpful because there is so much to be done. And to keep in mind who you're serving first, and Heather, I'm going to toss you this softball. There's fewer things that irritate me more than somebody that says, I'm running for school board to serve the taxpayer. My comeback is, no, you are not. That's one of the people, but who should school board members be serving?
School board members serve the kids. Their job is to make sure that students have what they need and that they are well representing those needs and the interests of those kids by doing due diligence to the people who elected them to do it. And so, you know, keeping good lines of communication, creating productive and meaningful and valid opportunities for family engagement in the district, these are things that board members really have to make sure that the district is doing well, because ultimately they're policymakers. Their job is to supervise the professional educators who we have entrusted and hired to run our schools and to let them do their jobs with their confidence and trust. And so when we see boards that are very micromanaging of school leadership, that are kind of, you know, getting in the everyday business of students and educators in ways that are beyond their own expertise often, then, you know, those are red flags for folks who are wondering, you know, what exactly is it that you're trying to control here? And are you really being honest to the systems of democracy that are designed to let us govern our public schools in a way that lets educators do their jobs?
Tim, tell us about the intimidation factor, though, when somebody might be thinking about running for school board, and Heather mentions, mm-hmm. you know, you're overseeing all of these professionally trained educators. I'm sure you've heard from other potential first-time candidates, or maybe thought so yourself, as, you know, does everybody have to be, you know, a highly educated, you know, professional educator to be on a school board, or is this something that regular folks can indeed do?
I mean, certainly that's the reason that we have the democratic process. It's to allow regular folks to come in and represent our community and the values of our community, or of course the community that they're running in. And so there's not any special background information or education that you need in order to run for a school board. It's that curiosity and that desire that Heather's talking about to be there for the kids. It will take a big learning curve and a lot of learning to get up to speed on some of these things. You know, just like any profession, we have an alphabet soup of acronyms that you'll have to ask about and learn. But really, the most important thing is being able to support each and every student for who they are, and bring that with, as Heather said, an ear for communication with the community, because part of our job is to represent the values of each community, our individually, you know, grown and local schools, the best that we can, to set that governing ideal. You know, what are the results that we want for our kids? You know, kids coming out of the Eau Claire Area School District, what do we want them to look like as a community? And regardless of whether you're a former educator or you're not, get in contact with your community and do your best to represent those values and build that vision for what we want for our students.
So, Heather, where does somebody start if they think that this is something they might want to do, might want to run for a school board? And I'm going to assume, for the purposes of this question, that they have been to one or two meetings, that they're not just, you know, making this decision willy-nilly. So they have seen their school board, but now they're thinking about running. What kinds of resources are available? What kinds of where can they go to ask questions about how do you start a campaign?
Well, first of all, there are loads of resources out there and lots of people that you can connect with. So no one has to feel like they're doing this alone. And I also don't want folks to feel overwhelmed by the sort of enormity of the field of information that's out there about public schools. Like Tim said, you don't have to be an expert to run for school board. You really just have to care about kids and have a certain, like, base level curiosity and humility about what you don't know. None of us knew what we didn't know until we knew it. And so coming into this ready to learn and ready to take that learning and put it into service of the work that you want to do, I think is a really important quality for a school board member. There are lots of trainings for people who are considering running for school board who have already decided to do it. You can visit our website at wisconsinnetwork.org and check out the elections HQ page for a little toolkit that has some of those resources there for you and some upcoming dates of school board trainings that we know about. And you can look at your local community. I think most districts around the state have an information night. They might lead a little workshop or training that lets you know what is involved in being a school board member and maybe what it takes to run for office. And look at the resources that the state has put together for candidates and the Wisconsin Association of School Boards has put together for candidates. They've got a whole huge packet for people who might be considering a run for office. And all of these things are linked on our website.
And Tim, I know that we're unapologetically progressive over on this radio show. But that doesn't mean that there isn't room for folks of all, you know, stripes to serve on a board. It is not, you know, that the only people who can run for school board are the ones who want to, you know, walk in with a blank checkbook and say, take what you want. But there does have to be that sense of what? Of give and take, of cooperation. So can you tell conservative leaning folks who want to serve their school board, you know, the degree to which there is that kind of room for debate as you talk about everything from spending to curriculum?
Certainly. I think there has to be that room, right? Everyone uses our public schools, and public schools are for each and every child. That means Democrats and Republicans send their kids to public schools, and we all should have a voice in that process. Where it begins to break down, Pat, I think you touched on earlier, is when people are using this lately as a political wedge to try to make parents and community members afraid of our public schools or to drive political issues outside of really focusing on what's truly best for each kid. And outside of that, there's plenty of room for discussion. Because our state has not done its job in funding public schools, we're constantly having to make decisions on what programs, what policies will give us the biggest bang for our buck, and how can we, within our limited budget, go ahead and accomplish these things? And when's the right time to go to a referendum? And there's reasons to say not right now, there's reasons to say right now, and all of that is there for discussion. I think anybody with any political background can come in if they have a willingness to work together, to listen to one another, and to try to really keep front and center that what we're trying to do is create a positive environment for our kids and to develop the community of the future that we want together.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, and I'll save the story for another time, but it's really something to be a Democratic legislator. And there was something related to education where I was one of those who said, well, I get it. I like it. I support what you're doing. But this was, you know, 2009, whatever it was, and we were going through the Great Recession at the time, and saying, well, I'm just not sure that this is where we need to put our resources. And, you know, to hear some people say, it's like, oh, well, so you're against education. Like, no, you have to make these decisions, and it's done on a district by district basis, based on the conditions that you have right now. So Heather, having laid all that out, do you think that this is, despite what you hear from school board meetings and book bans and everything else, do you think this is a good time for people to consider becoming a school board candidate?
I don't think there's ever been a more critical time for good people to consider running for school board. Our kids need us to stand up for them right now. Our public schools are under attack and under threat in a lot of significant ways, not just related to funding. And if you care deeply about making sure that every kid is getting their needs met, that we are providing robust and well-rounded curriculum that really give kids a chance to understand the world around us and to be prepared to enter the workforce when they're done with our schools or to move on to college, then you need to step up and make sure that you're doing what you can where you live to be part of that. And for some people, that means serving on the school board. It is a fun job that gives you access to all kinds of information and relationships that you might not have found otherwise. And while it might seem overwhelming, it really does depend on good people with differing points of view who are willing to do the hard work of negotiating for our kids and making sure that we're doing everything that we can as the grown-ups they're counting on to make sure their needs are met.
All right, Heather Dubois-Bornon, thank you. Tim Nordine, president of the Eau Claire School Board. Nice to have you here along as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
Hope we can talk to you soon. Yep, Heather, we'll talk again very soon. We'll continue our homeroom series next week. We'll talk about the value just ahead of Thanksgiving of talking about Wisconsin's indigenous population. Back with, what is today? Wednesday. Oh, it's Todd Alba Day. Oh, this will be fun. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Menards 11% sale ends Thanksgiving Day. Update your flooring with help from Shaw. From soft and luxurious carpet to durable laminate flooring or waterproof vinyl plank, Shaw has a stylish option for you that will stand up to life's everyday demands. Citadel Vinyl Plank Flooring is only $229 per square foot after 11% rebate. Stores close Thanksgiving, but 11% off remains in effect on Menards.com. Savings are mail-in rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Peace, love, and Bobby Sherman, kids. It's just about 7:51 on a Wednesday. Todd Alba joins us now in this spirit of coming together and working with one another. Todd, how are you?
Well, how about you guys?
Oh, very well. I mean, look at the spirit of cooperation we have here. And and look at what we saw in the Capitol yesterday. You had bipartisan cooperation on two huge issues, depending on how you look at it. It was bipartisan cooperation on keeping the Milwaukee Brewers in town and reforming our liquor laws after decades and decades of antiquated language. Or there was bipartisan agreement yesterday to smash wedding barns and kill the industry and waste our money on a billionaire baseball team owner. So, Todd, how did yesterday go for you in a bipartisan way? Or you, Greg?
Go on, Todd.
What?
Go, Todd.
No, go ahead. I was going to say, I thought maybe we were talking about the bipartisanship in Washington, D.C., where Democrats decided to save the country and pass a continuing resolution.
Oh, yeah, saving the country, too. Yes, yeah, there is that. Right, Greg?
Or you could be like, welcome to the Thunderdome that is the U.S. Senate.
Oh, my God. Right, well, that gets us back to the lummox from Oklahoma, whose name I didn't even use last hour. I didn't want to give him the credit. It's something Mullen. And again, just challenging the Teamsters president to a fight right there in the committee room. Just this, again, the level of toxic masculinity that has infected parts of the political right is borderline depressing or at other times comical.
It
was.
You know, I will say this. I am not for violence in any way, shape, or form. And what they did yesterday was very embarrassing. But nothing pulls away from the severity of an incoming fight than two men saying butts. Stand your butt up.
Stand your butt up. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the fact that Bernie Sanders was the one that was able to calm everybody down.
It was,
that
was Bernie.
That was kind like, of my
You're a U.S. senator, sir. You're just.
Right.
There's company here. There's company here.
Back to the point at hand. I am one who believes that Milwaukee Brewers, on the whole, is still an economic engine driver for the state of Wisconsin. I still think it's a great marketing and publicity tool for the state of Wisconsin. I think it provides, I know it provides a lot of jobs, not just for people who work at AmFam Field, but the restaurants and the service industry and the bars and all the other places around that facility. So I still think it's a good deal. certainly there were improvements to be made, and I give a tip of the cap to some of the Democrats, in particular, I think Senator Larson, for offering a couple of amendments to do that. I still think it was the right thing to do, and I'm glad that Governor Evers is going to sign it into law and keep the Brewers here through 2050. And I think the other part of it that gets kind of lost and isn't being talked about enough is with these upgrades, particularly the HVAC, it will become a more year-round venue. So it's not just for baseball. Remember, they don't own it. They lease the facility. And I think it's going to offer a lot more, whether it's conventions or music things or whatever. I think it's going to get used a lot more, and so I think that's good. On the liquor law side, this is something I actually worked on when I worked for former Senator Schultz of the legislature. As you know, Pat, this has been something that has been in the works for years, if not decades.
Yes.
And, you know, it used to be like, for instance, if you Wallersheim Winery in southwest Wisconsin, I know there's a lot of other smaller wineries across Wisconsin, but they were not able to sell their bottles or cases of wine to a grocery store 10 miles down the road without going through a distributor, basically a middle person that takes a cut. And it was, the laws were just ridiculous.
Wait, which made sense at the time, just coming out of Prohibition.
Oh, sure.
When you were when you were setting up the business model that, you know, no one entity could have like monopoly power in the marketplace. But that was then, and the laws needed to be updated. But tell me this, because as I was listening to the debate yesterday, and listening to Senator Spreitzer really trying to keep this bill from crushing the wedding barn industry. Whether it does or not, I'm going to set that aside just to say it was clear from an insider standpoint that the Tavern League has clout. Bars and taverns have clout. Breweries, distillers, they all have clout. And the wedding barn industry, it was just kind of like, you know, a bystander going, wait, how did I get hit with shrapnel from all of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And again, unfortunately, proves that in today's politics, like more than ever before, if you don't hire a lobbyist and a really good one and spend a lot of money, you're going to be left on the sidelines. And whether it's Citizens United in elections or whether it's big time lobbying money in the legislature, unless you have a strong advocate and are probably paying for that, you are going to get left behind. Yeah, I know wedding barn people. I know people that have derived their livelihood off of this, and I think it really does suck for them, and I feel badly for that. But I think as a whole, for the industry, I think it's probably better.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can't pretend to know, you know, what I would have done differently on the bill. I just know when I looked at the bill and it said that these places, A, would have to get a license, B, could only operate, what was it, like six times a year and only one time a month. I thought, man, that's like sending a message, you know, from the Tavern League and others. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That says you're not welcome here, and we want people coming back to our banquet halls and what have you.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the Tavern League is a huge player, particularly in Republican politics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have apparently avoided a government shutdown because of the honeymoon period that you know, Mike Johnson's being given as the new speaker. Really, we've just kicked the can down till what, January and February for most of these things. But if you, for those who missed it last hour, I'd say if one good thing came out of it, and it's not a great thing, but it's a good thing, is that they basically took all of the farm bill. And they, instead of punting that to January, February, they punted that till September of next year. Mm. So that's good, but it also means you couldn't improve on the farm bill at all. But we've kind of averted that crisis. But I think it's, don't you think it's still too early to tell if this is, you know, any kind of a net positive or just, you know, again, kicking the can down towards something that's going to be, it's going to just be terrible in January or February if you're like trying to get on an airplane or something like that?
Well, I think that's where the net positive is that, what we were looking at on Thanksgiving weekend, no less, is TSA workers not being paid and rightfully weren't walking off the job in some cases. It would have been a catastrophe. So from that standpoint, I'm really happy it got resolved. I'm glad our men and women in the military are going to get paid through the holiday and other government workers. But yes, Pat, I think to your point, it just puts more the problems further down the road. But here's the thing that people, I hope, take away from this. It was Democrats in the House of Representatives who crossed over and passed this bill. There were more Democrats that voted for the continuing resolution than Republicans. And once again, it shows me that the Republican leadership in this country, particularly in the House, simply cannot lead.
No, it's other people have to step up to actually get the work done. Todd Alba, noon to 2 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir.
The Praise Todd Father.
And Craig, thank you as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow when we will also have Joe Zepecki, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and Hometown Health. And remember, you can stay up to date on all we do at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Pleasure to have you here up north for the day. Have a great Wednesday. See you tomorrow.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm